Find chapter 6 in Mark, please. Chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 45 through 52 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. That's Mark chapter 6, verses 45 through 32. As you're finding your place this morning, in honor of the Word of God, would you please stand to your feet if you're able this morning? If you're not, please remain seated as we read the Word of God together. Mark chapter 6, verses 45 through 52, beginning at verse 45. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before into Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. And when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Now, anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit for the task ahead. Use him to help us today in this room. And Father, most important, if there's somebody in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray they would settle it before they leave this room this morning. In Christ's name, amen.
As you're being seated, I have approximately 8 minutes to preach this sermon. And then it is noon, and people start banging their watches on the chair in front of them, and they're afraid their reservation at Hometown Buffet will not be honored. They don't take reservations. Now listen carefully this morning. This is the account in the Bible. When I say account, please remember what I mean by that. This is not a story. This happened. Jesus sends the disciples across the Sea of Galilee, and he stays on the shore to pray for a while by himself. They get out into the storm, and the Bible says that a great storm came up, or a storm came up. Verse 47, when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he, that's Jesus, alone on the land, and he saw them toiling and rowing. Look in your Bibles at verse 48. It says, for the wind was contrary unto them. Didn't know the Lord would have me use that as a thought on a windy Sunday morning. The wind was contrary to them. In other words, they'd row and row and row, and as they stopped, the wind would blow them back, and they'd row and they'd row and they'd row, kind of like one step forward, two steps back, that sort of thing. They couldn't get to the other side because the wind was contrary to them. The wind contrary to you this morning? Well, I don't mean the wind that blows outside. I'm talking about just life. You know what I'm saying? You kind of take one step forward and two steps back, and you take one step forward and two steps back. It seems like you kind of, we call it banging your head against the wall. The wind contrary to you. Here are the disciples toiling and rowing, and the wind is contrary to them. They weren't just sitting out there. They were trying to get to the other side like Jesus told them to do, but the wind kept pushing them back, so the wind was contrary to them. There have been times in my life when the wind was contrary. Flying in yesterday from Canada, about, oh, I don't know, 100 miles out or so, that wind was really howling where we were flying, and it was pushing that plane, bobbing it up and down. You know, most of those flights you've been on them where people just kind of sit around, talk, and mumble. When it looks like the plane's going to crash, people start talking really fast. The whole conversation picked up. You know, through the whole plane, you could hear. Some people, the plane would dip and bomb like this and go back and forth. And it's a big plane, huge plane, actually. Every time you do that, someone would go, ah! remember flying one time as sitting down and getting ready to take off, and I look across the aisle from me, this dear lady was sitting there. Her hands were just shaking. She was so scared. I said, are you okay, ma'am? She goes, this is my first time to fly, and I'm very nervous. I said, don't worry, ma'am, don't worry. Flying never killed anybody. Crashing, now you got to worry about crashing, but flying's not a problem. Somehow it didn't comfort her. I don't know quite how that worked, but... Oh, man, the wind was contrary to us in that airplane. There's 150 people on a 737-800 brand-new jet, and that thing was just bobbing around because the wind was contrary to us, causing us problems and difficulties, kind of like life sometimes when wind is contrary to you. Can't seem to get ahead. Can't seem to get done what you want to get done. Something's always pushing against you. That's what it means, contrary. It was blowing against them, and they rode and they rode and they rode, and the wind was contrary to them. Well, I want you to see why this contrary wind came up, verse 45. And the Bible said Jesus constrained his disciples to go to the other side. Hey, the wind was contrary to these disciples because they did what they were told. Oh. So you're telling me, Pastor Johnson, if I obey the Lord in my life, I'll have smooth sailing the rest of my life. No, they didn't. And you won't either. Now look, folks, look at me. We can soft soap the Christian life if you like. We can present a brand of Christianity to people today that's very popular among Christians. That Joel Osteen, Smiley Joe junk, where you just stand up there and aim at nothing, hit it every Sunday and tell everybody all you got to do is just do this and do that, and you'll get everything you ever wanted, and life will always go the direction you'd like it to go, and you'll never have a problem in your life because Jesus is your Savior. Now listen to me very carefully. That ain't true, pal. The truth of the matter is, the more you obey the Lord in a world that's messed up like it is right now, the more the wind's going to be contrary to you. Because see, look here. See, if you do what the Bible says, we're going that way. And the world is blowing the wind this way. And that means the wind is contrary to us. It's working against us. I was an air traffic controller in the service. And when planes want to land, they want to land into the wind. Not with it, because the wind will push the plane and it can't control it. So they'll turn that thing around and face the plane into the wind so it helps them to float it and set it down the way it's supposed to. It actually helps the pilot to land the plane better if you land into the wind as opposed to with it. Crosswind is even worse. I was in the Air Force and we were having our radar unit was being worked on, and they gave us an old mobile radar unit right by the runway. I mean from here to the wall. It's where the runway was. And we're in this old mobile radar unit working traffic, and they had what they call a bailout bell in it in the tower. And if it looked like a plane was going to crash or something, they hit that bailout bell. And this trailer, I mean literally, you could just about reach across and touch it. And this trailer, and when they told us, you go out there in that unit, if the bell rings, and you'll hear it, you kick the nearest door to you, you get out and you run as fast as you can the other direction. We were working traffic one day, and the wind was blowing crosswind across the runway. And we're working these big heavy jets and stuff that were coming into the base, and their wings were flopping back and forth like this, and it was a training base. So they're teaching these guys how to fly these things. Well, the B-52, they turn the landing gear this way and turn the plane this way, and they can land on the wheels with the plane going sideways. No big deal. C-135 doesn't work like that. Four-engine, huge jet, bobbing in the wind like this. And this guy got near the runway, and his left engine caught the edge of the runway. And that guy hit that bell in the tower. We kicked the door open. I grabbed the railing and jumped and I looked up, and there was a 737 on its tip about to fall on top of us. Every time I tell the story, someone will say, did you die? You need to sue your brain for desertion, okay? Seriously. Did I run fast? I could have outrun a bullet that day. Let me tell you what. I mean, I was gone. Wherever it was, whatever it was, boop, I took off. That plane, that instructor pilot took over. He brought it down, bounced it on the runway, poured the coals to it, pulled it out, landed the plane with a torn up engine, and we made it just fine. Crosswind's kind of dangerous too. They land into the wind. Look at me. See, we think, but Pastor Johnson, why should I have problems doing what the Bible says? Why shouldn't you? What is up with this Christianity that never has any problem with the world? You know why they don't have any problem with the world? Because they're just like it. They act like the world. They talk like the world. They look like the world. They do everything the world does, and they wonder why they don't have any problem with the world. That's because you surrendered. You gave up to it. I got news for you, friend. Live fish swim against the stream. Dead fish float with it. Contrary? Yeah, buddy, that's right. I do what the Bible tells me to do, and I got problems in my life. But wait a minute, wait a minute. Last time I checked it, people who don't do what the Bible says, they ain't exactly skating through life without problems either. It's amazing to me. Well, I go to church, do what the Bible says, I have nothing but trouble at work. So without the Bible and Jesus, everything was fine? No one gave you any trouble? Huh? The point is this, I would rather have trouble for doing right than trouble for doing wrong. I know that doesn't make a lot of sense to a whole lot of people, but excuse me. The wind was contrary to them because they did what he told them to do. You do what the Bible says, you're going to have problems. You say, well, that's not encouraging people to live the Christian life. I say it one more time. You're going to have problems anyhow. You might as well have problems getting on the Lord's side of this thing than leaving him out and the problems that come without his help. Now you're out there in the boat rowing and you got nothing but contrary wind and no Lord coming to help you like these men had. We'll get to that in a minute. Oh, wait a minute. You know why else the wind was contrary? Look there at that verse 45 again. Look at the verse. And straightway he, the next word is constrained. You know what that word means? It doesn't mean, okay, fellas, get in the boat. Whoop, they jumped in the boat and took off. That's not what happened. He constrained them. It means he literally had to say, now get in the boat, get to the other side. Okay, well, we're going to go do, no, you're not going to do lunch. You're going to get in the boat, and you're going to go to the other side. And they say, okay, when we're done with the people. No, he constrained them. It means literally he had to go and get a hold of them, take them over, and get them in the boat, and then say, now go to the other side. You know, sometimes the wind's contrary in our lives because we're not obedient as we ought to be in the areas like we ought to. You know, we're kind of delay about things. He had to constrain them to do it. Did Jesus know a storm was coming? Did he look out across the Sea of Galilee and see the clouds billowing and saying, you know what, fellas, you better get to the other side quick now. But they're going, oh, well, yeah, whatever. No, Jesus is saying, no, get in the boat, get in the boat, get in the boat, get in the boat. Come over here. Get in the boat. And you will now go to the other side. And here we are in our Christian life. And we know what the Bible tells us, but, you know, we just kind of figure we'll do it in our own time. Get ready for contrary winds. A lot of contrary wind in the Christian life comes from people who will not do what they're told when they're told. Or they're going to do it their way. Or they're going to do it on their terms. Or they're going to do it the way they want to do it. Hey, look at me. Or they're going to say, well, the Lord will understand why I don't do what I'm told. No, he won't. No, he won't. He doesn't understand why your Christianity is any different than anybody else's Christianity. And why are you excused from stuff? You know, Mike Johnson's name's not in here. You know, it doesn't say what I'm supposed to do. It says right here, except Mike Johnson. It doesn't say that. If he tells us to do something, look at me, and you're a child of God, that applies as much to you as it does anybody else. He had to constrain them to get, oh. You mean because he had to push them in their obedience, they delayed long enough till the storm caught them. Oh, now I see that contrary wind thing. See, for some people, their delay is what's causing their contrary winds to come up. We'd miss a lot of storms if we just do what he told us when he told us, instead of putting it off onto our terms, the way we're going to do it, how we want, in our time, when I feel like it, okay, my favorite one, when I get convicted. God ain't got time to wait for that. We got to just go ahead and do what we're told when we're told. You'll miss a lot of storms that way. You'll find a lot less contrary wind if you get there and do what he asks you to do when he asks you to do it. What is it you know the Lord wants you to do this morning that you still haven't done yet? Well, I intend to, Pastor Johnson, when I get around to it. Years ago, a preacher had his folks, when they came into church, he had his ushers hand them a round wooden disc with the word T-U-I-T on it. And everyone who came in, they got one of those round discs with the T-U-I-T on it. And they were sitting in church looking at it. I go, what in the world's that? And the pastor got up and he said, did you all get your disc this morning? And he held it up and he goes, okay, some of you have been telling me you're going to get to it when you get around to it. And now you got it. The wind's contrary. Is it because we're still waiting on doing what we know we're supposed to do? He had to constrain them to get in the boat. Now, what do you do when the wind is contrary? Well, let's see now. In the Bible here, it says, he saw them toiling and rowing in verse number 48. Do you know what that means? That means, look here, if the wind's contrary to you, it's not because God is contrary to you. Jesus saw him. I don't know where he was. I don't know where he was sitting when he looked out into the Galilee and saw, it says in the middle of it, he saw them toying. Jesus had his eye on them. And he saw they were toiling and rowing. You ever feel like you're just in the boat and you got all the oars going as fast as you can, you're not getting anywhere, and where's God? God's still God, and God's still doing what God does. Does it help you to know that God knows? Does that help you at all? You know, a little girl was hurrying to Sunday school. She was running, and she was late. And as she ran, she prayed. She said, "Dear Lord, help me to get to Sunday school on time." And she's just running as fast as she could. And she fell down and skinned her knee. She got up. She wiped off her knee and the tear from her eyes. She said, "Thank you for helping me, but please don't push me." You ever just kind of feel like you're rowing by yourself? Hey, oh, by the way, you better make sure that he does know you. He, Jesus, saw them because they were his. Some of you folks, you're out there in the boat, you're just rowing as best you can, but he doesn't see you at all because you don't belong to him. He's not your personal Savior. You need to know Christ as your Savior this morning. If you've not settled that matter in your life, please do that before you leave. Otherwise, you're going to be in life rowing that boat, just rowing that boat and rowing the boat and rowing the boat all by yourself. It's tough rowing out there. But God wasn't contrary to them. The wind was, but God wasn't contrary. Jesus saw them rowing in the boat, the Bible says. You know what you do when the wind's contrary? Verse 48 and verse 49, you notice when it says they were toiling and rowing, you notice it does not say they ever stopped. So here's a deep theological thought. When the wind's contrary to you, keep rowing. Keep your oars in the water and keep rowing. See, do I need to go get in a boat out in Whiskeytown and row, Pastor Johnson? Come on, people. Seriously. No, it means stay faithful. Do what you're supposed to do. Don't stop rowing. Hey, if the wind's contrary and you can't get where you're going, you stop and it will push you the way it wants to go. Now you're in big trouble. You don't want to take your oars out of the water. You don't want to get out of the boat. There's no options there either. You stay in the boat and you keep rowing. And they were toiling and rowing. Say, what good did it do? At least they could maintain the ground they had in water in this particular case. At least they could keep going. You just stay faithful and God is going to come through and help. But you got to keep rowing. You don't quit. You don't back up. You don't back off. You don't back down. You don't say, oh, well, what's the point? Throw the oars off the boat and just sit there and let the wind blow you. That's no good. You won't get it. I'll tell you, it'll be much worse. I'd rather sit out there in that boat and roll my stinking head off than sit around and just give up and say that's it. Now this is about the Christian life. You see, with Pastor Johnson, I got my family giving me troubles and I got people at work bothering me and I'm trying to do the right thing, and what do? You keep your oars in the water. You just keep rowing. You don't give up on this thing. Well, it'll just be easy. Yeah, you just get blown back to shore and you'll sit there and nothing gets accomplished. Don't you understand we don't have time to waste? Don't you understand we get one shot at this life? That's all we get. And if we just give up and give in, you're just going to get blown around, and that's all that will happen to you. And you'll just be like a ton of other people out there today whose life just gets blown around by the things of life. Because you see, listen. When the Bible said, when he saw them toiling and rowing, then he came to them. And when he saw them toiling and rowing, the Bible says, then he came to them, walking on the water. So what you do when you're in the wind contrary to you is you look for Jesus coming. Hey, if I'm doing the right thing, Jesus is going to come. If I'm obedient to what he told me to do, Jesus is going to come. You say, but what about those partial obedience people? They got around to it. Look, God came to Abraham one day and he said, Abraham, I want you to leave your father, your country, and your kindred and go to a land that I'll tell you about, which basically means this. Abraham, leave town. I'm not going to tell you which way. Go to a land. I'm not going to tell you where it is. And when you get there, I'll tell you. And leave everybody behind, but take your wife and go. Abraham did do what God said, just partially. He took his nephew Lot. That's partial obedience. He went kind of halfway and he stopped. God had a little further plan for him. In other words, his obedience was partial and slow. But he did do what God said. In other words, God was waiting for Abraham to be obedient. Then he was in on it. Hey, when the wind's contrary to you, you keep rowing. Jesus is going to come. He sees you toiling and rowing. He's going to come. He's going to get there if you'll get where you stay where you're supposed to be. Yeah, but I'm just out there in the middle splashing water and rowing a boat and it doesn't seem like I'm accomplishing anything. If you're being obedient and faithful, you are accomplishing something. Jesus is going to come. Now that means a couple of things. First of all, he's going to come to you in the storm. It says he walked on the water to them and would have passed them by till they said, hey, who is that? That's Jesus. So he came right there, right in the contrary wind, right in the moment. You say, well, then he calmed the storm. No, he got to them in the storm while the wind was still contrary, while the times were still tough, while they were still getting blown about, while they were still going one step forward, two steps back, right in the middle of that thing, Jesus came to them, got in the boat with them, then he calmed the storm. Hey, Jesus is coming. He's coming in the middle of that storm. In the midst of the storm, he'll come if you stay faithful. In the midst of the storm, he will come. If you just stay faithful, God will come through. He always does. But not only that, does he come in the storm, my friend, he comes to you also to calm the storm. Once Jesus got in the boat, everything got real quiet and things were fine. And he went up into the ship, verse 51, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed among themselves beyond wonder. Now, can I ask you a question? Look here, friend. Look at me. Why would you be amazed at somebody who could walk on water could calm a storm? That's what gets me. I mean, if he pulled up in a rowboat and got in there, I could see where you would say, okay, he got in a rowboat, and he walked on the water to them. Then when he stepped in the boat, the wind calmed, they go, did you see that? What do you mean, did you see that? He just walked on the water to us. And they didn't say they were amazed at him walking on the water. They just said they were amazed that he stepped up, stepped in the boat. Then the wind calms, they go, whoo, what was that all about? By the way, if you check the previous verses, he just fed 15,000 people with a couple of sardines and two biscuits. We say loaves, fishes, loaves, little barley loaves, about that long. Fishes, little bitty fish in a boy's lunch. Mom's not going to send a kid out there with a 50-pound salmon and two loaves of French bread. Loaves, fishes, he fed 15,000 people. They saw him do that. They stood there with baskets while he broke the loaves and fishes. And they said, look at this. This just keeps going. That's amazing. He walks on the water. They didn't get it. And then he gets to the boat. They go, did you see that? Are these people Baptists or what? I mean, you talk about thick-headed. They just saw two amazing miracles and the third one. And then they go, oh, what was that all about? I'll tell you what it was about. It was about Jesus. It was about Jesus doing what only Jesus could do. Feeding multitudes with handfuls of food and walking across water in a storm to the boat, calms it by just stepping in the boat. Boom, the calm, everything's done. These guys should be saying, well, he's Jesus, of course. Oh, by the way. Has your heart been hardened by what God's done for you? Man, I've had it right here with all these Christians who got their salvation and God's blessings in their life, and now they're going to live in the world, act like the world, and do what the world does. My question to you is this. Did you forget what he did for you? Excuse me. He saved your never-dying eternal soul from hell. He made you a new creature in Christ. He has blessed and helped you. Hey, he's covered you with a lot of mercy because I know he's covered me with the same mercy. Been very gracious to us, answered prayers and helped us. Yes? Thank you very much. Okay, now then, so what's the deal with this business of taking our salvation and our fire insurance and like we do with all the other insurance policies, throw them in a filing cabinet somewhere and go on about our days instead of living for him like we ought to? Because Jesus is coming to calm the storm. If I could predict the return of Christ and he would come on my day, I would have him come the Monday before the first Tuesday in November. See, what's the first Tuesday in November? Election day. Then all those people can fight out the delegate thing and we can go to heaven. That would be nice. And then they could live with who they elect. No, it's May the 1st. Rent's due. Today'd be a good day. Say, when is a good day? When is it not a good day for Jesus to come, Pastor Johnson? Then there's such a thing. Any day's a good day. And when he comes, you talk about calming the storm. Then it's really calm. Everything's going to be fine. It's all good. Steve Westlake, a good man, went to our church for many years, went to heaven last week. His storm is calm now. Our brother Bishop, 97, made it 97 years old. He went to heaven. His storm's calm now. Some of you, your loved ones, Brother Ken Green, 3 years ago today, went to heaven. His storm's calm now. Say, well, you mean we got to wait till we get to heaven? No, he's pretty good at calming storms here. Are you staying in the boat? You keep rowing? Has he got his eye on you? Do you belong to him? And do you live like he is your Lord and Savior? Let's stand on our feet, please, this morning. Yep, the wind is contrary. Now, we can stand around and gripe about the wind all day long. You ever notice people complain about the weather, but nobody does anything about it? Yep, we'll step outside and that wind will blow a little bit, maybe more today. We'll pray it doesn't blow the wig off our heads. It's a north wind, you know what that means. Heat's coming. But seriously, that's not the wind that concerns me. The one that concerns me is the one I seem to be facing this wind contrary to me in my life. But I found something out. I'm not alone. And Jesus is going to come and help me, as he has so many times.